The State Department is well aware of the potential danger of a war in space and is leading diplomatic efforts to prevent one, but makes it clear if attacked, the U.S. will defend its space assets. Scientific American's Lee Billings, editor covering space and physics, has researched the topic and written an article entitled "War in Space May Be Closer Than Ever." Thanks for being here, Lee.
It's my pleasure.
What makes the U.S. vulnerable?
Really, it's not just the U.S., it's everyone, because we obviously use space-based assets in every aspect of our lives, whether we're talking about GPS navigation or international phone calls, financial transactions. We all use weather reporting and prediction. We all use these satellites. They're important. They're a vital part of the world infrastructure. Now, the U.S. also uses, of course, strategic resources in space to do things like look for nuclear missile launches and preparations to do that, to communicate with its various resources, military resources around the globe, coordinating activities. So we are particularly vulnerable to that because obviously the U.S. is the leader in that regard. We have more stuff to lose than anyone else.
And some people might wonder, why is the situation more complicated than when the Reagan administration initiated Star Wars back in the 1980s?
Well, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of different facets that we could go into. I think some of that is addressed by what I said previously. The situation back then was a little different in that we were dealing with kind of a bipolar situation where you had the U.S. and you had the Soviet Union. And it was this a very balanced game, so to speak, where we both knew that if we did certain things to that could be interpreted as acts of aggression against the other, against their strategic, for instance, early warning satellites for nuclear weapons, that could be considered, for instance, an act of war, a big provocation, and so there were these unwritten rules, and people didn't really cross them very much because they were afraid of what would happen. Now the world is not bipolar like that. There are no longer just two superpowers vying. There are other nation states such as China or other aspiring spacefaring nations. We could talk about Iran or North Korea or South Korea or Japan. All sorts of countries that are throwing things up there, and they all have the capability, either actively or passively, to disrupt certain operations up there. So it's a more complex and fluid situation now than it was back in the 1980s.
And let's talk about some of those ways. So how can countries destroy satellites without actually blowing them up?
Things that are up there, obviously, are moving very fast, and how fast they move is a function of their orbit. Things that are actually in lower down orbits, like low Earth orbit where the space station is, actually move faster than things that are much higher up, like geosynchronous satellites for communications or defense purposes. But because they move so fast, you could inadvertently blow something up, or not really blow it up, but destroy it just through having a little bit of debris and being sloppy with how you dispose of your old satellites or things like that.
What measures is the U.S. taking to protect itself? I understand it's budgeted like $5 million over 5 years to kind of enhance the military space program.
That's right. We're taking both diplomatic steps and also, I guess, defensive steps. So the latest test that I'm aware of from China happened back in 2013. And what was worrisome about that one is it went higher up than low Earth orbit. It appears to have gone to have approached this much higher orbit of the geosynchronous satellites, which is where strategic resources, again, like early warning satellites, are located for the U.S. and also for Russia. This happened in 2013. And since then, in 2014, the U.S. launched what's called the GSSAP program. They launched these satellites in 2014 that are essentially acting as sentinels to surveil or provide surveillance for these higher orbits. They can approach other satellites and look at them and see what they're doing. And basically, this was a black program that I don't think they were planning on really announcing publicly and explaining what it was. And then after the Chinese missile test, they decided, okay, well, we're going to say what these things are so that people know we're looking.
Is war in space inevitable? What do you think?
I really hope it's not, because if it is, then we're all in for a really bad time. If war extends into space, it will not stay in space. It will cascade into the ground, onto the planet. And that's, again, because we're so intimately interlinked and so reliant upon these resources up there.
Interesting. Lee Billings, who is an editor covering space and physics and author of War in Space May Be Closer Than You Think, I'm Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.